take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Ouch. Sorry, that little plastic ring on the cap came up and had a sharp spot on there. About ripped my lip off. I've had my lips ripped off before, but not that way. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Now I'm slobbering. All right, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read starting in verse number 16. And I want to continue our study on the Holy Spirit tonight. Probably one that you thought we would get to, but probably not going to be taught in a way in which you have ever heard. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," notice that's capital S, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Many volumes of books, if you went to a quote-unquote Christian bookstore, you would find probably an entire section on the fruit of the Spirit. Every quote-unquote Christian author in the country has written their opinion about it. Deeper lifers spend much of their time trying to develop and make the fruit of the Spirit what I call a hybrid. I'm not going to teach week after week after week after week, because it doesn't need taught that many times. In one lesson, I'm going to condense what the fruit of the Spirit is and why we need it and how it is gotten. Now, something that you need to understand, you've heard me say it, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit automatically indwells them.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit is the one that moves in. It is the one that conceives the spiritual seed in man. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm trying to be as appropriate as I can. It is the one that brings life or creates spiritual life. Just as the conception of a child creates life, so does the Holy Spirit. At that moment of salvation, there is a joining that creates life, and that's when the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Now, that's why you get to John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two different spirits there, man's spirit and God's spirit. Capital S God's, little s man's. Now, he does not come by some feeling. He doesn't come by some emotional experience. The lights don't flash and the ground doesn't shake and people don't start flipping and flopping, speaking and jibber jabber. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not even come because of some spiritual ritual. And be careful here. He comes when we trust the finished work of Christ for the remission of sin. That's when the Holy Spirit comes. I have preached tens of thousands of sermons. I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. I've seen people come down an aisle to get saved. I have no idea at what point in time somebody gets saved. There's a part of me that wonders if somebody wants to get saved, they step out to come forward to find out if they died before they hit the pulpit. I kind of believe they probably would have been saved because they had that desire to get saved. I can't tell you at what point in time it is. Now, don't hang me for that, but I believe it's that way. Now, because we have this new spiritual life, it now works contrary to our flesh. This is where we're headed tonight. Too many teach that the fruit of the Spirit is there so that we can inspect the fruit of the person. Galatians 5:16, look at it. This then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is there to keep us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It is not a proof of spirituality. Now listen to this. It is not fruit to show our spirituality or how wonderful we think we are. The fruit is not a barometer of our spiritualness. Say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I want you to notice something. Skip all the way down to verse number 22. The key word is the smallest word in this verse. But the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruit from the Spirit. Did you know? Everybody listen to me. Did you know the fruit of the Spirit is not yours? It's of the Holy Spirit.
Is that right?
It is God's Holy Spirit producing fruit in us. You can't develop it. It has to come from him. Now, when man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, his spirit died, and man's flesh became the focus of life. When a person gets saved, their sinful nature does not die, but a spiritual nature is added. And the only way to keep the influence of the flesh to a minimum is to let the Holy Spirit have control so that we can fight the lust of the flesh. Because our sinful flesh wants control and the Holy Spirit will not fight for control, what we yield to determines what the result is. Folks, God doesn't force you to do anything. The Holy Spirit does not grab a hold of you and shake you good and hard and pick you up and drag you down and throw you down at the altar. God doesn't force his way on anybody. Now, we let our flesh do that. We often wonder why God doesn't make us do certain things. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. I love my wife, but I don't force her to love me. If I have to force her to love me, she's not loving me. So as we work on obeying and yielding to the Holy Spirit, He can produce fruit that will keep us from producing the works of the flesh. As we yield to him, as we obey, as we follow the word of God, the Holy Spirit then can produce fruit that will battle the lust of the flesh. Let me say this way. We can be the soil or the dirt that allows the seed of the Holy Spirit to grow and produce fruit. By the way, what is man made out of? Dirt. We are simply to be the dirt in which the seed is planted so that it can produce fruit. We are not the fruit. We are not the fruit producer. We are simply the ground in which it is planted. We are not to try to produce fruit. We're to make our lives live so that the Holy Spirit can do what he wants done through our lives. Now, let's look at this a little bit closer, and I think I can help you tonight. Number one, the works of the flesh come naturally because we're all sinners by nature.
Amen.
Okay. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know you don't have to teach anybody to sin?
You're right.
Did you ever notice you don't have to teach anybody how to tell a lie? Matter of fact, the Bible says we come forth from the womb telling lies. Wait till 2 o'clock in the morning, that puppy's been fed and changed, and it's screaming like it's dying, it's lying to you. Mm-hmm. You say, what is it? You know, you don't have to teach anybody to do wrong. We do it naturally, really well. As a parent, you don't have to teach your child what wrong to do. They figure it out real easy. We have to teach them to do right because our flesh wants to do wrong. We are born into the flesh, and it has its first grip on our lives. Folks, I'm going to make a statement here. Be careful. We tend to think what we learn first is best. And that's generally not true. Some of you learned things early in life that you wish you could unlearn. So because you learned it first doesn't mean it's right. How many of you went to a different, and I'll use the word religion or way of thinking, before you came to a church and got saved? Raise your hand. Oh, so what you learned first wasn't best. Some of you came from quote-unquote Baptist churches that taught you things that's not right scripturally. Just because it was taught at a Baptist church didn't make it right either. Everybody doing okay? Let me show you what I mean. I was involved in Christian education and have been for about 20 plus 25 years of my life. You have to learn to add first in math. The first thing you'd learn is adding. But did you know that if all you do is add, you're cheating yourself? Did you know multiplying is a whole lot faster and easier than just addition? Did you know you learn to subtract next? So now you're adding, but then you have to learn how to subtract. Does that mean when they start teaching you subtraction that adding was wrong? Oh, no. But then you learn how to multiply. Multiplying, I always told the kids, multiplication is addition that turned on its side to go faster. Subtraction and division, you have the minus sign with two dots on it because it makes division is the same thing as subtraction, just faster. If you learn to add and subtract, you can learn how to multiply and divide. They're the same thing. You're just doing it by groups versus individually. That is the only difference in those. One is faster than the other. So just because you learn to add first doesn't mean that's the only way you can make it the rest of your life. Everybody doing okay? Some of you learned how to do one thing one way when you were in high school or college, and you think that's the only way to do it in life. I hate to disappoint you, it's not. Times have changed. Brother Barnes was putting our solar lights out. No, they won't be on yet. They haven't charged yet. All right? There was a day when the only way you could put a light out there was to hook it up to the power box and pay the power company $49 or $39 a month to light it, and it's mercury vapor or sodium vapor out there. And the electric meter you could use as a fan because it's going so fast. These we don't have to worry about that with. We hook them up, let them charge up, and as the sun shines, the light will come too. Now, just because you learn something first does not mean that it's right all the way through. Now, listen to this carefully. We should not feed our flesh that which produces the works of the flesh. We all like to eat. Gloria a Dios. Gordo y contento. No, I'm not speaking. Well, I was speaking in tongues. Fat and happy, amen? We should not feed ourselves that which spiritually satisfies the flesh and not the spirit. God said the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are all sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These all have to do with attitudes and evil spirits. Idolatry, which is Catholicism. Witchcraft, Harry Potter, even some of the Disney junk out there. Be careful. Witchcraft is witchcraft, whether it's a cartoon or not. Right. Variance. that means always changing. There's nothing consistent. Bless you. Variance means that you do this the one way that one time, one believe this, you believe that, you believe this, you believe that, and you're just all over the place. Emulation. Everybody doing okay? Emulation is that competitive spirit where you got to outdo everybody else. The Bible says that's part of our flesh. Well, I'm just not a good loser. No, you're full of emulation. Well, I've always got to be first. No, you're full of emulation. I've got to be the best. Then you're full of emulation. That's a work of the flesh. That's our pride. Everybody doing okay? Wrath, that's anger. Strife, that's causing contention with someone or many someone. Seditions, this is civil discord. This is our protest marches. Seditions are the people that march in D.C. all the time. Heresies, that's bad doctrine. Then you've got envyings, murder, drunkenness, and revelings. May I say this? This means that our entertainment, our thinking, and what we see and what we hear should not feed our flesh. That means our music should not feed our flesh. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. And I'm going to teach on music one of these days, probably many of these days. There's nothing wrong with good music. Good music doesn't mean that it's slow and boring. Good music has variety. It's fast, it's slow, it's peppy, it's got some oomph to it. But good music doesn't mean deadness. It's not open. It's not Gregorian chants. It's not any of that stuff. It's also not just all the same kind of music. Now, listen to me very carefully. The words of the music's just as important as the vehicle in which it is transported, though.
Yes.
Every song we sing, every song that's done, I read the doctrine of the music first. Then I go back and look at the music. Brother Randy gave me, several weeks ago, about 30, 35 songs, I think, to prove. I don't remember. There was probably four. I don't remember exactly how many, but probably four or five. Four. That's pretty close, wasn't I? Wait, did you? I didn't. There's four of them out of that whole list that he gave me that I said I'd prefer us not do. Now, two of them had bad doctrine, and it wasn't terrible, but it's just going down the pathway that I didn't want us to go. The other two, it was just weak. And I thought, I don't want to start into this. If I accept it now, then I got to accept everything that week, and I'm just not going to do it. It's not that they were bad. It's just I put a higher standard on doctrine than most. There are certain songs in our songbook I won't do certain verses to. The rest of the song is doctrinally pure, but I've gone in and scratched out the verses that are wrong doctrinally. I didn't throw the whole thing out because it's a good song doctrinally otherwise, but then all of a sudden they slipped a bad one in there. We won't do that. Now, your songbook doesn't have it blacked out, but mine does. So our music, what we hear, what we sing, is vital. Does your music appeal to your flesh, or does it appeal to God? What's the biggest test of our music? Well, I listen to it because it picks me up, or I listen to it because it peps me up. Our music is supposed to give praise and honor and glory to God. It's not about us. Next, TV and movies. Does it feed the flesh? Go through that list of works of the flesh and find out how much of it that we look at as entertainment. How about the games in which we play? Video games. Video games are full of violence. They're full of bad music. Now, not all of them, but many of the video games of today, whether they're on your phone or your tablet or, I don't know, is it PlayStation still popular? I have no idea, or Xbox or whatever. It's been so long since I've had one of those things in my house, I couldn't even tell you. But it's amazing how much fighting, killing, anger, wrath, the competitiveness, the competitive spirit. You now even have people that can go online and play, and you're playing people from all over the world, and you're in this big competition. Be careful. You're feeding the flesh, not the spirit. Our social media. There's probably more lying per square word in social media than anything out there. It gives everybody a venue to say whatever they want to say that they don't have enough courage to say out loud, but they can put it in print and send it all over the world. The works of the flesh. Then, number two, we cannot produce the Holy Spirit, nor can we produce His fruit. Did you know you cannot produce the Holy Spirit? He's God. Produce God once. Not going to happen. The Bible says, look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. So, we can't produce Him, but we can walk in the Spirit. Look at verse number 18. But if you be led by the Spirit. So we can walk in the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit. So we can walk in the Spirit, we can be led by the Spirit, we can live in the Spirit. And now, let me help you with something. We can be led by the Spirit, though, through God's words. Everybody, I love you, but listen to this. Just because you say, I feel like the Spirit led me to do this, doesn't mean it was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't make you tingle. Can I tell you how He'll lead you? Through His Word. I have somebody that texts me from time to time that has been trying to start a business for about 2 years. They're not bad people, but this one doesn't have enough sense to blow his nose. And often he'll say, well, God's leading me to do this. And I'll text back, book, chapter, and verse. Show me in the Bible where God's leading you to do this. God cannot lead you outside of the Word of God. He has to lead you through the Word of God because they are His words, and He cannot lead you outside of His words. Period. He doesn't lead us by our desires. I think God's leading me to go buy a brand new 2019 Ford Mustang. I feel the leading of the Spirit. No, that's my desire. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't have that desire. I just used that as an illustration. God doesn't lead us by our emotions. A lot of preachers get themselves in trouble. They leave their churches because they feel like they hit a hard patch, that it's time to get up and leave because, well, God just must not be here. So God, I feel like God's leading me somewhere else. No, just stay and fight. Get through it. Well, I had a dream. God's leading me through a dream. Sound like Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. That's what it was. We call that being led by the Spirit. You can have bad pizza before you go to bed and have dreams. Doesn't make it right. Y'all doing okay? When we had the revelation of the Word of God, God ceased to speak through dreams. When we had the written Word of God in completion, He quit working through dreams. Dreams mean nothing. He works and acts through His Word only. Now, you can only be led by the Spirit through the Word of God because He can't work outside of His own Word. Now, listen to this very carefully. We are not to focus on a fruit we like. We are to be the soil or the dirt in which He produces what He wants. Well, I feel like I need more love, so I'm going to focus on love. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the Holy Spirit that has to produce that, not you. It's not of the Holy Spirit if you produce it. We are sinful. When we produce something, we produce a sinful product. He is God. He can produce a sinless product. Are we doing okay? This is not natural like the flesh. It is supernatural. And it has to be produced by Him or it will be sinful. My Catholic neighbor came to church Sunday, sat right down in here. I saw him Monday afternoon. I got out of my truck and he come charging across the yard out to the road. I thought, well, it's either duck or pucker. I'm not sure which it's going to be, but I'm too tired to pucker, so I'm going to kind of duck a little bit. I called him by name. He said, Pastor Craig. I thought, okay, we're okay. He said, yesterday was amazing. Amen. Just amazing. He said, so warm. He said, it's not like anything I've been to before. He said, so real. He said, wow, you really said it too. I said, yep. He told Marsha I was a cool dude. Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't talking about you, Ellen. He called you a cold booger. Now, wait a minute. He said, I've never been at a church where it was more friendly, more warm. He said, I can't wait till my sister comes up from Atlanta because I want to bring her to church with me to your place. Say, what is that? Supernatural. That's not natural. Especially if you knew him like I do. Say, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit producing through us. Right. Walk into the bank and the loan manager said, I told my husband he's coming back with me this Sunday. Yes, ma'am. Gonna need money from you in a year or two. What is that? It's supernatural. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to produce it. It's not the fruit of your spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. You can't work on the fruit of the Spirit. It has to work through you. You're just the dirt in which it grows. Number three, and I'll finish. What fruit does the Holy Spirit produce? The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit in the lives of those who allow him to produce it. Let me say that again. He only produces his fruit in the lives of those who allow him to produce.
That's right. That's good.
You can go out and plant a tree, but if you put it where all the rock is and there's no good dirt there, it's not going to produce. You got to have some good soil there. The fruit of the Spirit are not produced by us. They are byproducts to us yielding to the Holy Spirit and obeying the commands of God and the Word of God. As you obey, as you yield, he says, I can now produce. But when you quit obeying and you quit yielding, he quits producing. It doesn't mean he's done forever. Just start obeying and start yielding. He can produce again. Say, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Look at them with me. Verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice it's one. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the LGBTQ community. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is. Say, how do you know it's singular? Because fruit can be plural because it says fruit is, not fruit are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There are eight things that make up the fruit of the Spirit, love. This is agape love. This means you can love somebody that hates you. This means you can love your enemy. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's hard to love somebody that doesn't love you. Your love's not tested because you love your spouse. Your love's tested when somebody hates your inside guts, wants to destroy you. Love is God's love here, not man's love. Then you have joy. I preached a whole sermon on joy recently. I'm not going to go into it. It is a byproduct of struggle. Joy is not Shazam, everybody's happy. Let's all sing kumbaya. No. Joy is going through a battle, through a trial to get to it on the other side. Then you have peace. Peace is not tranquility. Peace is the result of battle. It's victory in battle. It is winning. Your preacher has peace. We made it all the way through the building process. But guess what? The battle's not over. We're just getting started. We have bills to pay. We've got people to reach. We've got upkeep to take care of. We've entered another level of work. No problem. We'll get there. Get through that battle and spend more of your money. Long suffering. This is one you don't like. Long suffering is suffering for a long time for good or right with a good or right attitude. Long suffering means you're not going to come out of it. But you still have a good attitude while you're suffering. Everybody doing okay? You know, those people that you don't ask, how are you doing, because you don't want to hear the long story, are not long suffering. It's the people like Mrs. Bulkley who suffer tremendously. You'll never know how much that lady suffers physically. I sat down at a meal with him on Friday when I picked him up from the airport, and Brother Bulkley pulls out rubber bands out of his pocket, takes two napkins and wraps it around a fork so that she can hold the fork so that it doesn't hurt her hands. You never even knew it. She rode a wheelchair through the entire airport just so she could make it back and forth. But you never saw her complain here. Say, what is that long suffering? Oh, by the way, sweet attitude. She cared about your burdens and you never even asked her about hers. Not that you should have. But you talk about a lady that suffers. And with a smile on her face, she was like a kid in a candy shop, giggling, carrying on, having a good time, hurting the whole time. Gentleness. That means not harsh, not nasty, not brash, not rough. Do you know you can disagree with somebody and not be nasty? Yeah, you don't have to have a bad attitude because somebody doesn't agree with you. Everybody listen to me. We Baptists are good at this. If we don't see it my way, then go to the booger man. Just because it's your vision doesn't mean it's everybody else's. I had Brother Drolyard here this weekend, and I kept saying, now, Brother Chris, this is how I'm doing, but I wouldn't expect anybody else to do it. This is just the way I got to get it done. He'd say, but no, I want to learn. I want to learn. I'll teach you what I'm doing, but you're going to figure it out for yourself where you're at. Because it may not work for you that way there. It's working for me here. This is what I'm doing. I don't force it on anybody. And I got to hurry. Goodness. That's doing of good. Then faith. Sorry, the throat's starting to tighten up a little bit here. That's seeing what can be and trusting to get it. Seeing what can be and trusting to get it. Look around. When faith becomes sight. How many of you stood out there on where those 8 or 10 parking slips are out there on the driveway and said, preacher, are you sure? Where are you going to put it? Y'all remember those questions? Uh-huh. Some of you couldn't even picture it till you walked through the door and still don't know where you're at. It's all right. Preacher, are you sure? Meekness. Meekness means evenness. It is literally the word homogenize. Homogenizing takes the cream and the milk and mixes it together so it doesn't separate. And that's exactly what God says. You ought to be meek. You ought to be consistent all the way through. Steadiness. Say, preacher, this person through all, Mrs. Barnes through all this, you know, most people would have killed their boss going through what we went through. We've been very meek through it. We've worked our way through it. Have we made mistakes? Oh, I made a bunch. Some things didn't get done. Yep, but you didn't know about it and didn't worry about it. No big deal. It's on me. I got it. Temperance. That's the toughness, the hardening, like you would temper steel. So, the fruit of the Spirit is there not for you to produce. It is there for the Holy Spirit to produce through you. As you yield and as you obey Him, you become the soil in which He then can produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Well, I just don't understand why God did that. That's the flesh, not the Spirit. Well, if I were God, that's why the Holy Spirit's not producing fruit in you. Well, I don't understand why this person suffers so much. Because maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to produce fruit through them. Did you know that it takes decay to make fertilizer? To grow? I said that the nicest way I knew how to say that. I did pretty good, didn't I, Brother Mike? You see, it takes a lot of rotten stuff to make ground good to grow in. Let me finish with this and I'm done. When we live in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, and we're led by the Spirit, we will see His fruit grow in our lives. Remember, it's not your fruit. You can't produce it. You can't say, well, I need love. I need joy. I need more of this in my life, so I need to get this from the Holy Spirit. No. You say, I'll walk in the Spirit. I'll live in the Spirit. I'll be led by the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit needs me to have, He'll produce it through me. By the way, it's not for you. It's for others. It's all in reference to helping others. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not a new truth as far as what the fruit of the Spirit is, but may be presented in such a way that you didn't know. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh my, many, many, many hands. You may put them down.